message to you this morning will be first love. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Notice the word left. He did not say you lost it. There's a world of difference in losing something and leaving it. Paul said in Galatians that this was the law of God. We're breaking the law if we do not live in our first love, if we leave it. I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. And I will explain this because this goes to the current situation. 1 John chapter 3 verse 7. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and setteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I've given you a pretty good outline of my message this morning, just in the scripture. Would you raise your hands, ask God to anoint the message, and to anoint you to hear it, in Jesus' name. Well, we're quiet this morning. My God, my God. And you may be seated. I want to deal with what I believe is the Lord's meaning of first love. Not ours, not our personal and private interpretation, but what has God revealed in His Word? What's the example that He has left us as to how we should walk in His steps? If you remember, in the book of Revelation, the fourth and the new Revelation, chapters 2 and 3 is where you have the seven churches that are written to. In the writing to those seven churches, from Ephesus all the way through to Laodicea, I believe, and I know others I believe, that these, of course, were local churches. When the letter was written to a church, like by Paul or James or John or whoever, it is said that that letter was to be read not only in the church it was written to, but it was to be read by all of the churches. In those churches in the book of Revelation, the first one is the church at Ephesus. I'm not mentioning the other churches. The church at Ephesus had to mark a beginning somehow in the mind of God. And the thing that he mentioned to Ephesus, he left the church with. How crucial and how critical is that? We must then ask ourselves, what is first love? I think it's very clear that when you deal with acting with God, which is the first love, it's all inclusive. That's one thing about first love. God said, love the Lord your God, like God, with all of our might, with all of our strength. That means any other love that we experience has first got to be a part of that first love. It's all inclusive. It is subsequently how that we, it's the character and the feature of every other kind of love. I love you, and you know that I tell you that all the time. Some of you sometimes tell me that you love me, and I appreciate that. Love covers a multitude of sin. There is no greater emotion. We can't even describe it. The amazing God loving, the first preacher that ever went out of this place. I was in his wedding in New Orleans. when he and Paulette got married. Bill was from a guitar one day when we were over in the old building over on Roberts Avenue. And he said, if Paulette was to be alive, is in New Orleans, he's in New Orleans. He said, Robert, do you know what love is? I said, you tell me. He said, love is that itching around the human heart that you can't scratch. You haven't tried to define love. I'm going to give you God's definition of love. God is love. And if you can define God, then I will take your explanation of what you think love is in this definition. It all begins in God. It has its origin in God. He said, when you help one another, let me say this first. It is well said that in the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters long, the first 3 are spiritual, the last 3 are practical. I really don't know how to divide all that. People smarter than me come up with that. But I do know this. You can talk things and not do things, and your talk is meaningless. If you say that you love God and you sin against God, your words don't mean anything. If you say that you love your neighbor because he said, love thy neighbor as thyself, if you say you love your neighbor and you see your neighbor in need, you see your brother in need, and you do not help them, how can you say that you have the love of God in you? It's not only the talk, but it is also in the actions. I believe that first love covers all the ground of life. I don't believe that you can calculate the meaning of life. Why? Because it is everything. In everything that you can say, it is totally, it is utterly selfless, self-forgiving. It's not calculating. It is fierce. It is fiery. It is completely hot, strong, and faithful. That is where the Lord begins in Ephesus. Your first love. I've had a little bit more time to sit down right now. Some of these words I didn't forget. Utterly selfless, self-forgetting, uncalculating, fierce, fiery, hot, strong, faithful. Brother Clinton used to preach, not necessarily about love, but he said, there is a wind that is driving me. There is a fire that is burning me. I believe that that is that first love. I believe that's the action of Almighty God in us and to us. The Lord has a purpose, of course, for His church. Going into all the world and preach the gospel. I've heard from people, as I said, I've known from them in a long time. I will tell you this. One of the first calls I got was from Brit Justice. He's been gone a long time. He and his wife had this ministry called Life Hope. Life Hope. They sent a truck down here from Oklahoma, Duncan, Oklahoma. We used it, we dispensed it, we appreciated it. But when that brother called me from Pennsylvania, he said, I probably can't get anybody down physically to help, but if you need an offering, I told him, I said, you call me back Tuesday. I'll let you know where the chute was right on the path of earth in Panama City, Florida. He called me sometimes 2 or 3 times a week. I've got money I can send. I can help your people. You know why they made those calls? Love. They were driven by love. They were compelled by love. They responded because of love. Brother Spence, almost every day. I can name so many others because I don't have a clue how many calls I do receive. God so loves that he gave the power of one account. If you don't give, you don't love. If you don't give, you don't love. I one time read, I can't remember, but it was in the billions of dollars, where people would spend billions of dollars on dog food. Spend billions of dollars on dog food, but won't give a nickel to Mickey. I tell you what, you know a different Jesus than I know. I'm preaching both the spiritual side of this and the practical side of this. We know that we are at the end of all things. But there is one thing that Jesus is doing. He's trying to bring everything back to the beginning. There's no love in this world. They're kids. If you've got something they want, they won't help you. But in the Word of God, they have all things common. Right? What is mine, I'm willing to give to you. Right? They had all things coming. And when they went to the brother with the need of the widows, immediately they said, search out 7 men that we can put over this unit. That's the first deacons. The widows will be neglected. They kept preaching. They did everything that was the will of God for them. But as a part of that, they also put people over the fact that you've got to help these widows. I never turn my TV on in the news. I did this morning to see the news on Irma. And those commentators were talking. And they said, there are old people that cannot get around to locked in those houses. The new people said that, not me. The infirm, those that are sick, pregnant women, they just begin to go down the list. Jesus walked 30 miles out of his way on his way to be crucified to talk to a woman on the curbing of the Lord. He only asked her about her husband. But lady, I will give you water. If you draw this water, you'll thirst again. I'm going to give you water that you will never thirst again. One woman, not a crowd, not the multitude pressing in against her. Not somebody trying to touch the hem of his garment that they might be healed, but his concern. He knew that lady was wrong. He went to that lady. It's recorded in the Word of God where Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. It was a spectacular sight. And not everybody's called to do that kind of thing. I understand you do things that those of you out there wouldn't do it, but in that particular hour and at that particular time, I saw them so tired that they had to sit down, rub their leg, rub their feet. I heard that when Harvey comes to a bone, or just on the news, that there was a man in Duluth. It was on the last morning. A man in Duluth that lost 780 head of cattle. But you know what he was doing? He was cooking. He was cooking. He lost 780 head of cattle that he himself did not go through those cattle. He was cooking and feeding the hungry and the people that were sitting there. Somebody said, we don't know the people getting the sandwiches and the food and the barbecue, whatever. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Who's my neighbor? If God lets you be born, you're my neighbor. Talking about first love. really wish you guys would have heard it tonight. Talk about first love. You can never hear it if you never had that first love. That's what I'm saying. Smells is born from the burning. He saved us. He forgave us. He redeemed us. All because God the Father so loved us, He gave us something. I'm preaching to you because tomorrow night we're going to have that meeting at 7 o'clock. We're going to find out a lot of things about a lot of people. Maybe. Somebody said, you shouldn't put that on us. If you've got good reason, but if you just don't stay home and watch Monday night football, and not fulfill the law of God, you'll have a problem with that. Anything that God asks us to do, God will enable us to do it. God's not going to ask you to do anything that He's not going to give you the ability to do it. The power to do it. You do not know how many times in calling the people to this church, I was asking about their loss and their experience. Almost every one of them would say, I feel guilty. I didn't lose that much. I walked right there and said, what I did lose. I'm good. That's fine. Just a little bit. There's a challenge. I don't always speak this way, but I am this morning. There is a challenge set before us. And that challenge includes an examination of our lives. An examination not of our emotion of love, but our spiritual and divine love that's given of God, that God sees our response to. Let me read to you from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, and verse number 2. This is what God said through a prophet. And you can almost hear a sigh of grief in the world. These are not the words of the prophet. These are the words of Almighty God. I remember concerning thee the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, how thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not for thee. It's a remembrance. Is your first love just a remembrance to God? Look at what He said. I remember the kindness, the love. I remember how you went after me in the wilderness. That's what this matter of love will do. If you would break these words down, what God said, I remember when you went after me in the wilderness. I remember when you went out to me, when the land had not been sown. There's no crops. There's nothing. A wilderness. Heat. Destitute. But He said, I remember when you loved me with such a love that you went into the wilderness after me. That's what it is. What He was saying was, if it's necessary that you die of starvation, in order to be with your lover, you was with him. You was with him. I'm not going to go too far into it. But God says, He's talking to everybody who's talking to that person who has. God said in one of the prophets, you will take care of your seal of harvest. C-E-I-L-E-D-E-C-O-D. You'll take care of your own house. You'll take care of its damages and whatever. But you won't give to the house of God. Do you know who you love? You love yourself. Because you will sacrifice and give to the one you love. So I said, I'm going to give him 10%. That's what he asked for. He said, you've robbed me in time and in. Somebody said, I'm doing what he told me to do. No, you know, if you see your brother in need and you close your eyes with compassion, I say to you, let the love of God abide within you. Here in this book of Jeremiah, what God is saying is, you have reached a place going into that wilderness where there is nothing else that will satisfy you. That's what first love is. I'm going to tell you, buddy, you go to the lake, you spend God's day riding a boat, playing, going out to eat, whatever. That's dangerous. I said that's dangerous. That first love says, I cannot be satisfied with anything except doing the will of God. It is said of Jesus, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will. And he said, I've left you an example of how you can walk in my spirit. There are lots of places of pleasure. There are lots of things that are of pleasure. And I'm going to tell you this. When you hear me, God did not invent one. God did not build one. Man is built up for income, money purposes. He said, well, God made the lakes and the oceans and the rivers. But there's a reason for it. And that's not the reason when it comes to interfering with the things of God. What it says is, I cannot be satisfied with anything else. He said in the book of Revelation, we read it, he said, I know thy work and thy toil and patience. On the spiritual side, whatever you do for God, Charles singled out Brother Robert and Brother Jenny. I wouldn't single out anybody, but I tell you what, they didn't make a penny for that. Matter of fact, his wife is at home as sick as a person can be. You know why? She came up here one day, and every one of us tried to run her off. She was almost immobile. But you know what she did? She got out there in that line, and she barked on her. She gave orders. God knows. Will you stay with me a few more minutes? I'm talking about first love. It's all inclusive. It's the love of God. It is God. God is the love. You remember me telling you, many years ago I was at home, kneeling beside the love seat, and I did. I said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand the actions. I don't understand the attitudes. I don't understand. I believe what God has spoken to me. He said, it's because of the love. I know of people that had families burning up in the building, and they run into that building and lost their life. Also. We love the Lord, and we will do a lot for him. Get that, get that. We love the Lord, yes, and we will do a lot for him. But that's not first love. I'm describing and defining God's meaning of first love. I can tell you, watching the news about Hurricane Harvey, there were people there that were using their boats and their gas and their lifts and their that. They come from all the service stations. But that won't get you to heaven. I believe that's what God wants us to do. And I can assure you, a man or a woman that is born of God and has that love, they will come to know just what they do for their God. But God, I do this, God, I do that. But do we need those things that go beyond duty? Do we do those things that go beyond obligation? Do we do things that are not in our best interest or our objectives? I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to tell you. None of us will give you this good love God the way we ought to be God. You say, why would you say that? To stir our hearts, to see, to have that kind of love. And then, where are your cards? I'll never let you go to you for just a moment. In reality, God cannot be satisfied with anything else. He cannot be satisfied with labor and patience and these things that do not come out of first love. We sing it. Get out of here. We sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. But the fact is, There is a meaning to that word love. And we really don't mean what we're seeing until we pass the test. Why do you use this as a coming? I have my own thought pattern about love. There are certain scriptures that frighten me. And I mean frighten in the sense the Spirit of God is beginning with a whisper. We cast out devils in your name. And it says, we prophesied in your name. So, I don't know you. Here's the part that is a holy and godly fear in my life. You go and serve the one that you serve God. They prophesied. He did not refute the fact that they had cast out devils. I don't understand that. But the thing he was looking at is how they served him. That's what he told him. How are you serving God? How are you living for God? About, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I got a phone call. I got a phone call from a lady. And she mentioned another ministry. She had talked to this ministry. And she told me on the phone what it said. You see, there are times when I hear things that only man kind of comes to know me. So I missed part of what it said. Because I'm trying to contemplate what I've heard. So I asked her, I said, would you put that in writing and send that to me? And she did. And it was over a conversation with that preacher about certain things that go on in the whole church and whatever. But it was his response. I'd rather live in the fear of God and use that as wisdom to love Him with all of my life, all of my heart, and to not live selfishly. Than to have the whole world in Him. You may have prophesied. What do you say to me is you may have preached. You may have sung. You may have gone out and helped people in their time of need. But I really don't know you because it's not of works that's been made for us. It's all about serving God with all of our lives. We're hoping that we're here this morning, someone listening. But we may have people here that serve you in what you do for your family. But you don't have that first one. You don't have that, they put the kingdom in this fire. It's a fire burning. And it's a wind blowing. And that's what first one is. If you're without that fire, if you're without that driving motivation to do that which is wonderful, then you need to talk. You need to correct that. You need to make that right. I want you to stand with me all over this building.